Be with you all again this morning. Praise the Lord for the opportunity to be out here. You know, I mentioned in the last board meeting about getting a satellite church down in Clearwater, Florida, and having you all come if you wanted to. It didn't go over as well as I thought it would. Well, we'll keep working on that. How about that? We'll keep working on it. Praise the Lord. Good to be back with you this morning. Praise the Lord for that. You know, I am thankful. You know, we're West Virginians, right? We handle the snow, we handle the ice and stuff, but I do tell you to be careful when you're out here, especially in the parking lot and stuff. Little story before I get into sermon. I'm going to be in Matthew 13 if you want to turn there, if you don't care. Whenever Tink was pregnant for Stephanie, we go to her mom's house, and it had snowed, and there was ice. We didn't realize it, but there was ice on a little sidewalk that her mom and dad had right there. Lo and behold, we hit that, and both of us, our feet flipped in the air. We both land on our back, and of course, it scared me to death because her being pregnant, and you know, and all that stuff. But you know, it just takes one time, and that's why I tell you, just be careful. Just be careful, especially when you're out here. But anyway, praise the Lord this morning. If you would turn to Matthew 13, if you're there, let's stand. I'm going to read 3-9. Title of my sermon this morning is, What Good Does It Do? What good does it do? Let's read Matthew 13, 3-9. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell among, by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And he gets it with this, Who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come, Lord, with just nothing but thanksgiving in my heart for you this morning, Lord. I praise you. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, that we have to be here in this service this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would just open up our hearts and our minds, Lord. I pray, Father, that, Lord, you'd put the anointing upon me, Lord. And I pray, Father, that this message would hit where it needs to hit, Lord. And, Father, we will just truly give you the praise and the glory for it all. And we ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. You may be seated, and thank you. Now, I want you to notice something about the sower as I get into that Jesus is having us look at, and that apparently he doesn't know what he's doing. If you look at the person throwing the seed out, the sower, it appears that he doesn't know what he's doing. And apparently he's never studied farming 101. He's never done, because, you know, agriculture, he's never looked at the best methods of growing crops, if you looked at this in that way. It seems like he's going out, and he's haphazardly just throwing seed everywhere. Doesn't that not look like that to you? We find him throwing seed on stony ground where nobody knows anything about farming. Anybody that knows anything about farming, you don't do that. I wouldn't have Greg go out and throw seed in the middle of Medina down here. It'd be just a waste of time. Right? It seemed like it would be just a waste of time. And we find him throw seed into thorn bushes. And everybody knows that if you do that, eventually all that's going to grow there is just going to be thorns, thistles, greenbriars, whatever you want to talk about. And he throws that in. And he throws that in. Nobody with any common sense would expect anything to grow but that, thorns and that kind of stuff. And seeing a flock of birds, he goes ahead and he throws seed out there too. But what happens? The birds come and they eat the seed. So, you know, if you looked at this through human eyes, human understanding, you would think that what good would it do? Absolutely, what good does it do to throw seed out like that? And yet our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he absolutely used this as an example for me and for you. It's an example for us. He did not rebuke. He did not criticize. He didn't do any of that stuff. He didn't find fault. But rather, he said that sower is an example to every one of us. Because the purpose of the sower wasn't to harvest. The purpose of the sower is to do what? Sow. That's your purpose. That's our purpose, is to sow. When the sower sowed the seed, he did what the sower was supposed to do. He sowed the seed. He planted the seed out there. And Jesus didn't say, go sow the seed in certain areas, did he? He didn't say that. He said, you grab it by the handfuls and you throw it. That's what he said whenever you're looking at this. Jesus said, now I want you to take it by the handfuls and I want you to scatter it. And that's what the sower did. And that's what the sower in this parable did. In addition to that, if you look at it, the disciples ask him a question. Look at verse 10. And this is important because I want to patch this in between where we're going with. I'm going to be in this whole chapter here. If you look at verse 10, the disciples said unto him, why speakest thou to them in parables? And then Jesus answered them, because this is important for us today as well. I want us to understand this. And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. You ever wonder why, when maybe you witness to people or people are preached to and talked to, they don't understand it. They don't understand it because it's not been given to them. Brothers, if you're born again Christian, it's been given to you this morning. You should understand the Word of God. And it said, because it's not given to you to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away, even that he has. Therefore I speak in parable, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, and neither do they understand. And in them is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Elias, which is Elijah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the people's hearts is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Now let me ask you a question right here. How many of you believe that Jesus knew before Jesus did? Right? He was God incarnate. He knew exactly what he went to, what his purpose was, how he came to this earth, and what he was supposed to do. Jesus knew it. Now stop and fight right there. Jesus tells his disciples that the prophet Isaiah had prophesied many years ago that by the time he came on this earth, that the Jewish people would not hear him. They would hear him preaching. They would hear him preaching the kingdom. Their spiritual eyes and ears would be stopped to the point that they would not listen to what was being told to them by the Messiah that they were looking for. He knew that. He knew that whenever he stood there and he preached. And just as Isaiah prophesied, it was happening right then. And yet, we find Jesus, what was Jesus doing? He continued preaching. He continued teaching in front of people that had already made up their mind. Can I tell you something? You're going to talk to people in this life. I'm going to preach to people in this life. You're going to be witnessing to people in this life that already have their minds made up. There's nothing to this. Nothing's going to happen. Nothing to this. But you know what Jesus has given us example to do? We are not to stop. We are to continue to spread the word. We are to continue to spread it. We find Jesus preaching. But these people, they'd already made up their mind. Every single day, Jesus went out and he preached and he taught to people who were not going to accept the message because of the hardness of their hearts. Every single day, Jesus poured out the truth to people that had no desire to know the truth. It wasn't a problem. It wasn't his problem, right? It was their problem. Remember that. Remember that as you go out into a lost and dying world, as you spread the gospel to a lost and dying world, when you give it to them, it is not your problem. Your problem is to sow. It's their problem whether or not they accept the seed or not. The sower in this passage in Matthew not only sowed seed in places where it was obviously nothing was going to happen at that time. Nothing was going to happen. He even sowed the seed to a people that Isaiah had already would reject the message when they heard it. He was sowing it. He already knew it. You might be asking, well, what good did it do? What was the use? What was the use? I'm telling you this morning, the scripture tells me, and it tells you, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Jesus knew that, but for 3.5 years, Jesus continued to preach. He continued to lay out the word out there. He kept proclaiming righteousness to people that didn't want, have no hunger for thirst or thirst for righteousness. He kept proclaiming that. Jesus did the will of the Father regardless if the world was willing to respond or not. How about you and me this morning? I'm not pointing my finger at you any more than I am me. Are we willing to keep on going, to spread the word, to sow it? He didn't get discouraged. He didn't say they weren't worth it, Jamie. He didn't say that. He didn't say that people over there was worthless. He kept on spreading the word and preaching. Jesus preached. Now, I want to lay some stuff out here to you. And this is Dave's humble opinion, so you just listen to me on this. He preached for 3.5 years, and those people saw the dead raised, right? Open blinded eyes, open deaf ears, cast out demons, he cleansed lepers, he caused the lame to walk, caused the dumb to talk, and he fed thousands, right? That's in the scripture. But let me put a little bit of perspective onto you at what happened at the end of his ministry. And you all know this. He had 12 that came to communion service with him one time, and one walked out on him. Amen? He had that. So next time you think a service isn't going the way you want it, in Matthew 26, it tells you about that. He had a prayer meeting. That's over in Luke 9:28, and only 3 people showed up for that. You can look it up. And it came to pass after 8 days. They're saying he took Peter, James, and John, and they went up in the mountains to do what? To pray. And on the day he hung on the cross, the day our Lord and Savior hung on the cross, there were what? How many people were standing there witnessing that was part of his inner circle, part of the people? There were 5 of them. That's it. 5 people. And all the scripture tells us when all of it ended up. If you go over and read in 1 Corinthians 15, you know what it tells us? He had about 500 believers at the end of it. 3.5 years. I want you to understand this. 3.5 years. Sometimes we complain if just a few people show up on a Sunday night sometimes. Praise God, I want everybody here that wants to be here. Amen? But brothers, we get too caught up sometimes in numbers. Jesus kept on preaching for 3.5 years. And you know what? He had 500 people to lead a show that was, we know of, were believers. And guess how many had to show up for church on Pentecost Sunday? He had 120. And those people were there because they were hiding. There was no 120,000 out there waiting to get into the church. I'm telling you, look it up and read it and see if all what I'm telling you isn't the truth. Listen, 3.5 years of God coming to earth in human form, doing like none other, and this is how they flocked to him. Now, we know now it's millions upon millions upon millions. The Bible tells me over in Revelations that one day, listen to me, there's going to be a throng over there. There's going to be from every nation under heaven. And brother, there are going to be millions and millions. Jesus preached for 3.5 years. And this is what he got. Jesus knew that all beforehand. Do you understand that? That's why I ask you that. He knew it all beforehand. And guess what he did? Greg, he still kept her up. He still kept her up. We have no reason to get discouraged. You and me and anybody else has no reason to be discouraged here this morning. Now let's pick it back up in verse 18. This is where Jesus explains. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word, that's the seed. That the word is the seed. You understand that? When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, that's the devil, this is those birds, and catches away that which was sown in his heart. Now I want you to mark that, sown in his heart. Mark that in your Bible because that is important. Sown in his heart, this is he which receives seed by the wayside. Now it's evident, if you look at this, that the devil, the fowl, he comes and takes the seed. Mark 4:15 tells us, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown, say it with me again, in their what? Hearts. The sower had sowed the seed and down comes that old bird and flies away before it can take root or spring up. I want you to notice something. He didn't say the bird got there and took the seed out of his pouch. He didn't say the bird took the seed out of his hand. He didn't say the bird went into the barn and took the seed. He said he took the seed from where? Say it with me again. His heart. That's where he took it from. The bird came and got that seed out of that man's heart. Listen, it may not have taken root, but it got to the heart where it had never been before. That's why the Bible tells us in Matthew 24:14, and the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Not one person who stands in judgment one day will be able to say that they did not hear the word. They'll hear it. They may walk on by. Like they didn't hear it, they may curse at you, they may argue with you about it, but before the devil got that seed, it made it into their heart. That's where it made it. And a lot of folks don't get saved the first time they hear the gospel. How many of you here got saved the first time you hear the gospel? Raise your hands. How many of you got... That's pretty universal. I don't see anybody in here. You know why? You know what happened to this old boy? I had aunts and uncles come and tell me the gospel of Jesus Christ when I was a lad. And you know what I did? That devil came and he got it out of that heart, got it out of there before it could take root. But guess what happened, Jeremy? A few years later, I heard the gospel message again. And I got on my knees and I got saved. I'm telling you right now, he may have stole it that first time. The devil may have come and got it out of there. But praise the Lord. You know what? I thank God for people that kept on sowing. They could have said he wasn't worth it. I was a heathen. I'm not saying that to joke. I was a heathen. And my aunts and uncles, those people, they'd come out there and talk. But praise God, they never give up on me. They died before I got saved. But praise God, you know what? One of these days, I intend to see him one day. You see, the devil stole it out of my heart that first time, but I'm living proof that, praise God, he's still working on me, still working on you. So shall thy word be that goeth forth out of thy mouth. It shall not return unto me void. But it shall accomplish which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Okay, there's four different types of soil we're going to talk about. The next two, 20 and 21. But he that received the seed into that stony place, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon, which means shortly or immediately, with joy received it. Yet he has not rooted himself, but doeth for a while, for that when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by, say it with me, he is offended. He is offended. Here we find the same sower. He's sowing the same seed. That's what he's doing. Now, here is somebody that heard the word. They heard it, and they thought it was a good idea. Immediately, they heard the word, and they thought, man, that word is, that is awesome. That is a good idea. You know what? They may have thought that, you know what? It could save my marriage. They may have thought it could do this. They may have thought it could do that. The person hears them, and they're attentive. They're enthusiastic about it. And they're happy to hear it, and they accept it. Though it might help their life, they think that it might. They thought it might be the answer to their addiction, to their depression. Thought it would be the answer to all their problems. And they go and they start telling family and friends and co-workers about what they heard at church. What that preacher said about going to church and about Jesus. And his family and his friends, you know what they start doing? They start making fun of him. They start doing things that, you know what? They start saying, hey, I don't want to, if you're going to be some kind of holy roller, I don't want to be around you. I don't want to be around you. I don't want anything to do with you. And you know what he does? He's telling him, you better not turn into that. You better not turn into that. And as quickly as he decides that he's going to follow Jesus and believe it, he decides he's not going to. When trouble or persecution come because of the word, they quickly fall away. But Jesus didn't say to give up on people like that, did he? He's telling you what's going to happen. We are still to sow the seed to those people anyway. Because it may be 1 year, it may be 10 years, Greg, it may be 40 years, but one day, that person's going to remember that the Word of God said. Amen? He's going to remember what the Word of God said. That woman or that man's going to remember it. And God and the Holy Spirit's going to do some more convicting. Praise God. It ain't up to you to think, well, that person's this and that person's that. You're just to sow the seed. You're just to sow it. He didn't say give up on people like that. We are to keep sowing. I told this story Wednesday night, and I think it bears repeating here today. I told it's about a woman. I heard her testimony. This is a true testimony of a lady that was saying this, who had years before went to church and had received the word and had received it. But she ended up going to college, and her roommates alienated her and started talking to her and telling her she didn't want to be around this holy roller stuff and all that. And because of the word, as the scripture tells us, tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, and by and by, she was offended. Well, years later, she was driving down Interstate 65 in Indiana, and I want you to listen to this. Driving down Interstate 65 in Indiana, 70 miles an hour with the sunroof back. Something hit her in the head and fell on her lap. It was a track. He said, where would you spend eternity? Heaven or hell? You don't tell me that isn't of God. You don't tell me that. And she was telling the story how she pulled over right then. And she called a preacher friend of hers and went and visited. And she ended up getting saved. She ended up getting saved. She said, listen to me, listen. And as she said, somebody didn't want that track, Belinda. They threw it out, and guess where it landed? God's holy wind took it to where it should be. I'm here to tell you, we don't give up on people. It's not for us to decide who gets the seed and who don't. We're just to sow it. Sow it. Let it go. Let the Lord take it. Can I tell you something, brother? Said sometimes we're the ones that want to choose where we sow. Listen, you know what? Listen, and to place it. Listen, God is so good to us. Listen, let's keep reading. In Matthew 13:22, he also received the seed among the thorns. Is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Can I say to you something here this morning? And you know people like this. There are people who you will witness to They do not disagree with you whatsoever. They're decent people. They work hard. They pay their bills. They take care of their families. They watch ball games. They go fishing. They go hunting. They keep up with their properties. They do a lot in their communities. They're not drunkards. They don't run around on their spouses. But they just don't go to church. And they're not Christians. They just don't. They're the ones that will tell you, well, that's okay for you. But you know what? But it's not okay for me right now. It's not okay for me. You keep on sowing the seed. Because one day, that man or that woman, the kids will be out of the house one day. They may be in a hospital, laying there, dying, or maybe in there because of a sickness. And this old preacher is going to come in and he's going to sit down beside them. And he's going to try to share the word with them again. And let me tell you something. That right at that time, the Spirit may start dealing with them. And guess what? They may come to know Jesus one of these days. As long as there is hope, as long as there is life, there is hope. You keep on sowing the seed. You keep on throwing it out there. Don't let anybody tell you any different. Because someday, that confirmation will come to them. It will. There are people that are not against God. They're not the enemies of the gospel. They're just choked by the cares of this world. Do you know them? I know them. I know many of them. Good people. Salt of the earth people, that's what they say. Making a living in the junk that they need. That's the gospel message. Has no place in their lives right now. Brothers and sisters, remember one day, the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ can shine through. I don't know about you, but it did me one day. It did this old boy one day. Praise God. The glorious light of the gospel shone. And all the folks that have hardened hearts, the root of the gospel can't attach to them right now. But that doesn't mean it won't one day. But we are to keep on sowing because God can soften the heart. God's the only one who can do that. You know that, don't you? God's the only one who can soften a heart. My Bible tells me, a new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. He replaced my heart one day. He replaced it. And brothers, he can do that for people. He's the one that can do it. And the root can take hold. The scripture tells us Jesus is the root out of a dry ground. That's what the Bible tells us. You know what? When Jesus gets in there, he can change that heart and start softening it to where it's be acceptable to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But then there's the fourth type of dirt. Matthew 13:23. But he that receives seed into good ground is he that heareth the word, they understand it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. When you sow some of that seed, it will fall on good ground once in a while. It does. This is the soil that's been prepared by two things, the word and the spirit. That's the two things that prepare the soil, the soul, to accept the word. That's the two things, because all the soil is not good by nature. You do know that. None of this soil is good to begin with. In 1 Corinthians, it tells us, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Someone whose soil has been prepared and hears the word and the Spirit knocking on the heart, they will produce. And notice what Jesus said in verse 23, which also beareth fruits, bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. There will always be fruit, always out of a Christian. There will be fruit. But it may not be 60, it may be 30. It may be 20, it may be 10. We're not the judge. Amen? We're just to pray that God lets us bear the fruit that we should bear. Praise God. Sometimes we want to look at our brother and say, Well, why isn't he doing anything? Brother and sister, he's doing what God has him to do. You worry about Dave. Amen. You worry about you. But you will produce fruit. That's what it says. There will always be fruit bearing. If you are a Christian, you will bear fruit. Not always in the same abundance, but there will be fruit. Because God's not interested in the amount of fruit, but how sincere the heart is when you go out to plant the fruit. Amen? Keep on sowing. Ecclesiastes 3:2. There is a time to plant and a time to pluck that which has been planted. You do the planting, God will do the plucking. Amen? One day he'll do that. When it comes to witnessing to someone, it's not up to us what we think about individuals. It's not up to us to think about who we should witness to. Listen to me. We had in our scripture this morning about don't be an unrighteous judge as somebody that's poor or rich. What it's trying to tell you there was, you know, if you're judging something like that, said you're not to take into account whether or not they got money or not. Brother, we're not to take it into account whether they live on the wrong side of the tracks or not, whether they got tattoos all over them, whether they got this, whether they got that. We are to sow the seed to whoever. That's all that matters. How about you? I want everybody to go to heaven. I want to see anybody and everybody go to heaven one day. I don't care where you're from or what you do. Praise God. Listen to me. If I was to be judged by this heathen right here, God wouldn't have had nothing to do with me, Patty. He wouldn't have. But praise God, he looked beyond my faults and saw my need. And praise God, I am saved today because somebody one day took an interest in me and sowed the seed. Jesus preached to Pharisees and Sadducees, scribes, and sinners and drunkards and harlots. Jesus and decent people to fishermen and shepherds. He never once looked and said, "Well, I'm not going to spread the gospel here, and I'll do it over here." Never once. He just sowed the seed. You're saved here this morning because someone sowed the seed to you one day. It could have been your mom. It could have been your grandma. It could have been your aunt. It could have been a preacher. It could have been a teacher. It could have been somebody. Somebody sowed the seed in your life. Revelation 7:9, as I said earlier. "And this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, peoples, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands." Because people like you kept sowing the seed. One day, what a glorious day that's going to be. What a glorious day that's going to be to see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To see the ones that we loved that have gone on before us. What a day. The song says, what a day that will be. What a day that will be. Because people keep sowing the seed. Keep sowing it. Keep on keeping on. Keep on doing her. Let's get a song, please. Hosea, they're coming to get a song. Hosea 10:12 says this. "Sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you." Now this is what I've gotten out of the sower this morning. There's so many messages you could get out of the scripture, so much. But this is what the Lord had given me. And I ask you this morning, don't be discouraged. Don't think that what you say about the Lord doesn't go unnoticed, because it does. It'll get to the heart. It'll get there. The devil may snatch it out right fast, but brothers and sisters, listen, it's been there. And can I tell you something? It'll bounce around every now and then. Every now and then, it'll bounce in there. And praise God, hopefully one day it'll take root.